A lot of people in the Bible Belt that don't know the Bible. Amen? And so this needs to be talked about. Another reason why this really hit home, and most of you know this, is I'm going to be a Poppy in May. That's a grandpa. That's my name, is Poppy. And Tay has already picked it out for me. And May the 23rd is the due date. And last week, when Taya was here, she came over and sat on my lap when I was in, she's 24 years old, still sits on her daddy's lap. She sat on my lap, and she goes, "Daddy, feel this." And I put my hand on her stomach, and I felt Jarrett kick me. Just poof, gave me a little kick. And so I sat there and I laid my hands on her stomach and talked to Jarrett. And so this is really hit my heart, and I've asked God to give me his heart today in delivering this. This is not a judgmental. This is not a hate speech. I have prayed, God, let me have your heart in delivering this message today. And I know because of statistics that I've read, and I'm going to share several of those today, is you may have been a part of an abortion or went through an abortion, and here's the deal. There is grace and healing and forgiveness in the name of Jesus. That is the good news that we stand upon today. And one of the stats that I read is 1 in 3 baby boomer women are post-abortive, and 1 in 4 millennials are post-abortive. And the reason why I felt to deliver this message, and I feel like that the lots of pastors all over our nation need to do this, is because I watched the news where I saw the people cheer for the law that expanded abortion in New York, and maybe some of y'all saw that as well. And I knew that then I needed to speak up for the unborn and teach people what God's Word says about it. And afterwards, and since they didn't show you all this stuff on the news, I hope you realize that you don't take the news hook, line, and sinker. God gave you a mind, use it. But they lit up places in New York with pink lights to celebrate this law passing. I have had tears in my eyes as I've studied this, especially with me coming up being a Poppy. And what I realized is I said, God, I want your heart in delivering this. But what I realized is most people don't have a biblical worldview, meaning they don't look through the lens of the Word of God. See, what I believe and what I realize that our nation doesn't believe, and a lot of people in the Bible Belt don't believe, I believe the Word of God is the absolute authority on every subject matter. And then we need to look through this lens on every subject matter that we face. So I'm going to answer 4 questions today as we go through this. What is abortion? What does the Bible say about abortion? That's number 1 is what is abortion? Number 2 is what does the Bible say about abortion? Number 3 is what should a person do if they have had an abortion, performed or assisted in abortions, have counseled someone to get an abortion, or have paid for an abortion? And then number 4, what should our response be as unbelievers? So the first slide, and I just want to show you what the recent New York abortion expansion bill, what it covered, if you haven't paid attention to this, is number 1, it allows non-physicians, non-doctors to perform abortions. Number 2, it allows abortion up to the point of the delivery. Number 3, it removes any protection for an infant who survives an abortion. And number 4, it removes criminal penalties for the death of an unborn child. When I put this first slide up there, I was like, Lord, I cannot believe that I'm a pastor today and I'm actually going to have to talk about this. That to me, this is a no-brainer. That's murder. Abortion is murder, bottom line. So that's what happened with the New York abortion expansion bill. Here's what, and then later, Virginia is adopting this as well, and this is what the governor of Virginia said the infant would be delivered, the infant would be kept comfortable, the infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired, and then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. And basically what he's saying is, I believe murder was blown out of proportion. I just can't even, I know I see some looks on people's faces. I can't even wrap my mind around that somebody would even say that it's just being blown out of proportion. In Oklahoma, abortions are up 10%. In 2017, I got this from the Elk City. I talked to Karen Ramber this week. She oversees the Elk City Pregnancy Care Center. Abortions are up 10%. In 2017, there were 4,723 abortions were reported to the Oklahoma State Department of Health. I want to say that that number is skewed because that's the only ones that were reported. There's many more that don't ever get reported. This averages to 394 abortions per month in the state of Oklahoma, and that was provided by the Elk City Pregnancy Care Center. I just want to remind us all today what our, in this nation, what the Declaration of Independence says. And we've got to get back to what our founding fathers founded this nation on. It says, and this is what they said: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator, which is God Almighty, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life," everybody say life, "life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." That's what the Declaration of Independence says. Here's another thing. Just logic, just common sense should tell us this. It is morally wrong to take the life of an innocent human being. Abortion intentionally takes the life of an innocent human being. Therefore, abortion is morally wrong. That's the logic that we ought to follow. There's so much deception in this world today, folks, so much deception. Science tells us in embryology textbooks that at the moment of conception, you have a distinct, living, and whole human being. Number one, and they're distinct. The baby has unique DNA. Gender, blood type, and race can be different from the mother. Living, the baby takes in food, grows, and reacts to stimulus, and they're whole. The baby develops itself. There is no significant changes in the embryo that you were and the person you are today. Taya has, you know, it's such a different day and age now. She has an app on her phone called Baby Bump. I think that's the name of it, isn't it? And every week it tells her what's happening with Jarek and where he's at and how big he is and all this. And she'll text us every week how big he is. How big is he this week? What was it? Last week his thumb was as big as a bumblebee. I think his thumb was as big as a little bumblebee. And so she's texting us this stuff every week and showing us how he's developing in the womb, and it's pretty neat. So they have an app now called the Baby Bump that can teach you about that. Let me go back here to, logic. I got off talking. That's what science tells us in the Baby Bump. And so here's number one. What is abortion? Abortion is the deliberate termination of a human pregnancy resulting in the death of the baby. That's the definition, the simple definition of abortion. I know this is a heavy subject matter today, and I knew this was heavy, and so I just want you to sit and take this in, and there's things that we can do as Christians. Amen. In the District of Columbia, these are the things I'm sharing with you today. You're not going to hear on the news. No news broadcast is going to be broadcasting these kind of things and telling us what's really going on. I'll talk more about that here in just a second. But in the District of Columbia, this is where our government is at. 38% of all pregnancies are aborted where our government is located at, District of Columbia. New York, 33% of pregnancies end in abortion. In New Jersey, 30% of pregnancies end in abortion. That's just a few of our places across our nation. In 2015, 27% of all abortions were done chemically. That's from the CDC. And in 2015, 73% of all abortions were surgical. There's two primary, and I was really hesitant on sharing this because there's a lot I've left out, guys. But abortion is one of the most barbaric things that can ever happen to a person. But there's two primary surgical procedures, and I'm just going to briefly tell you what they are and sum them up because I'm telling you, it hits right here. Number one, there's the procedure called D&E. This is where this dilation and evacuation, I'm going to basically tell you what that is. Basically what that is the infant is chopped up and then sucked out. That's what that means. Number two is the procedure is a partial birth abortion. And this is where the child is delivered feet first. There's an instrument stuck in their head to collapse their skull, and then they're delivered. Guys, and that's all I'm going to say about that, because there's much I have left out that I could share. That is barbaric. And we are passing laws in the state of New York, and it's being, they're starting to accept it in other states that this is okay. Something I want to share here on this subject is we have more rights in this nation for animals than the unborn. And this is what we call, we're calling evil good and dark light in this nation. And I'm just going to share just a few things that I have found about animals, about animal rights. Listen to this. It's illegal to ship pregnant lobsters in Massachusetts because you might hurt the little lobsters. That's one of the laws that they have. In Florida, destroying sea turtle eggs can net you prison time and a fine up to $100 per egg. The Wildlife Restoration Act, if you disturb a chickadee nest or a mourning dove nest, you can be put in jail for up to 6 months and fined up to $15,000. Yet there's nothing about abortion. Is that crazy? I mean you start thinking about it, there's so much deception going on. Also in the state, in our nation, you're not going to find any statistics about abortion and what it actually does to women. Because you in the United States of America, they won't provide you this information because it's not politically correct. But other countries do provide the statistics, and so I've got some stats from other countries to share with you, and I guarantee you that you could put them over into the United States of America. But here's from Canada, from the Canadian Journal of Psychiatry. It says 59% increased risk for suicidal thoughts, 61% increased risk for mood disorders, 61% increased risk for social anxiety disorders, 261% increased risk for alcohol abuse, a 280% increased risk for non-alcohol substance abuse like drugs and different things like that. In the country of Finland, the suicide rate of women is 3 times higher for those that had an abortion. That's the devastation that's happening to women. And this is all being celebrated. The pink lights, remember, in New York City, in New York and places, it's all being celebrated as a woman's choice. But there's devastation that happens to women. I was talking with Jada as I was preparing this and talking to her this morning about it, and Jada used to volunteer her time at the Elk City Pregnancy Care Center. There's lots of things that you can do to get involved, and I'll talk about that here a little bit later. But she was telling me when she was there, you know, she learned a lot of these different things. And she said, Mark, it not only, you know, women are the ones that had the abortion. Yes, it majorly affects them. But even the doctors and the nurses that helped, the people that assisted in it, it affects them for the rest of their life. There's no stats on that, what happens with them as well. Here's another one. Alan Guttmacher Institute talking about abortion. This is what they found out. And doing the stats so that you kind of understand where this is all goes. But there's 1% are victims of incest or rape of women that have had an abortion. 12% had fetal abnormalities. 25% don't want people to know they were pregnant. 48% said they didn't want to be a single parent or they had problems in current relationships. 73% stated they could not afford a child. And 74% said the child would interfere with their lives. I know this is heavy, guys, but we need to hear this, amen? And because I want you to be equipped, and then now we're going to get into God's word about this. So I wanted to, this is number two, what does the Bible say about abortion? And number one, God creates personally and individually every human life. God knows you. God knew you before you were even formed in the womb. I'm going to share a story here, and you can believe this or not. I chose to believe it. But when our son Jaden went home to be with the Lord at the age of 18 months, I had read a lot of books about heaven because I want to know what heaven's like where my son went. I read a lot of books. I got into God's word about heaven. And I'll be honest with you, some of the books I read, they might have ate too much pizza or something, you know, when they wrote their book or whatever. But there was a lot of books that I felt that lined up with the Word of God. And I really believed that these people had an experience, that they encountered heaven. because there's you know, there's scripture. Even Paul, the Apostle Paul, said he was caught up to the third heaven. So I believe it can still happen today. If it happened to Paul, it can still happen to some people today. You know, God's not a respecter of persons. And this one particular book that I read, and I just like, wow, that is something else. And he talked about that he was around the throne of God. And he said there was like these, and this is what he said, there was like these little spirits flying around the throne of God, and they were asking God, can I be a spirit? Can I be a spirit? Can I be a living human being on planet Earth? They were wanting to be. And he used this analogy, or what he saw in heaven, that God knows you in heaven before you're even sent down here to Earth. I thought that was powerful. So God creates personally and individually every human life. Genesis 4:1 out of the Message Bible says, Adam slept with Eve, his wife. She conceived and had Cain, and she said, I've gotten a man with God's help. Whose help? God's help. God created Cain personally and individually. He knows this. Genesis 21, verses 1 through 2 out of the New Living Translation says, the Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant. He promised it to her, and she became pregnant. God gave her life. Genesis 25, verse 21, Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children, and the Lord answered Isaac's prayer. I'm talking about he had a powerful prayer because in Rebekah became pregnant with twins. She was having twins. How many twins are in here? I know Julie is a twin. How many other twins we got in here? This awesome. Yeah, Emily. Yeah, we got twins everywhere around here. John 10, verses 8 through 9 and verse 11, how the New Living Translation said, you formed me with your hands, you made me, yet now you completely destroy me. Remember that you made me from dust, you clothed me with skin and flesh, and you knit my bones and sinews together. I mean, God put you all together in your mother's womb. And then here's another, because there's, you know, the deal about abortion and that, you know, if there's ways that they can tell, you know, if there's deformities. And I'm going to tell you right now, that there is a lot of great ultrasounds and stuff today, and they can see things that, but you know, that and test things, but they don't know everything. And they're not God. There's only one God. I had somebody come to me one time, and they thought their grandchild was going to be deformed because that's what the doctor said from the ultrasound. And that little boy came out, and he is perfect. Not a deformity. And here's the deal. Exodus 4, verse 11 says, then the Lord said to him, this is God talking, who has made man's mouth, who made him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? No, I'm telling you. God, and so even the disciples in John chapter 9, I didn't put this scripture up there, but they asked Jesus, they came upon a man that was blind, and he had been born blind. And they asked Jesus, okay, well, then somebody had to have sinned, God, Jesus. It must have been him or his parents. And Jesus' response to him was neither. He was born this way to give God glory. So that don't hold up. We're not God, amen. All right, here's Job 33, verse 4. For the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. I want to read a lot of scripture today because I want you to know who gives life, and that's God. Amen. Psalms 100, verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. Psalms 127, verse 3, what I just prayed over the little kids before they went back to the back. Don't you see that children are God's best gift? The fruit of the womb is His generous legacy. Here's another one that this is the scripture that went out this morning. Psalms 139, verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Psalms 139, verses 15 through 16 says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. That's God talking. I don't know how it's done. Doctors have tried to figure it out, and they still don't understand it all. But I love what Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5 says. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. and one of my favorite scriptures in the Word of God, because this was a scripture that the Lord gave me before Jaden was even born, was Jeremiah 1:5, and it's on his headstone. It says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And I was like, and me and God wrestled over that scripture a lot. I said, God, you spoke that scripture to me, and my son only lived for 18 months. And I said, Mark, he's probably going to do more than 18 months than you've done and you're going to do in your whole lifetime in ministry. And I've seen it, because he's been a part of our story and our message, and that book that we just released is his story that God told us. And I believe it's going to bring many in the kingdom of God. Another day I was thinking about our book and people that we have been given it, even given it out to, that have, that we know they've lost loved ones. And I believe that in there, at the end of the book, it tells you how to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I'm like, my son's getting little jewels put in his crown every day when people read that book. So his ministry lives on. At that time I thought he's going to live a full life. I'm you know, he's going to outlive me and all those kind of things. And I had all these plans for him, but God said he was going to be here for 18 months and he's going to fulfill his call. And everybody said, amen. Luke 1, verses 39 through 41. I love this scripture. It says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country. This is when Mary is pregnant with Jesus, to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. And she entered the house and greeted Elizabeth, because Elizabeth was pregnant. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child, and she was about 6 months pregnant, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first person to recognize Jesus was an unborn child, and his name was John the Baptist. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. All right, here's number two. And this is, I've got to share what God's word really says to us as a nation as well. God judges a people who pollute their land with murder. In Psalms 106, verse 38, it says, they slit the throats of their babies, murdered their infant girls and boys. They offered their babies to Canaan's gods, and the blood of their babies stained the land. Talks about how when there's blood in a nation, how it stains and pollutes. Psalms 106, same scripture, verse 38, out of a different translation, says they polluted the land with murder. Numbers 35, verse 33 says, don't pollute the land in which you live. Murder pollutes the land. So there's another scripture. Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 through 10 says, one day Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, where is your brother? Where is Abel? I don't know, Cain responded. Am I my brother's guardian? But the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And I wanted to read that scripture because can you imagine what the blood of these infants that have been aborted, what it's crying out to our nation. And we need to thank God for his mercy that has stayed against our nation. And I really do believe it's because our founding fathers founded this as a Christian nation that's being stayed right now. But we've got to stand up for what's right. Amen. Okay, here's number three. What should a person do if they have had an abortion performed or assisted in abortions, have counseled someone to get an abortion, or have paid for an abortion? And here's what I want to tell, because I know there's going to be people listening to this online. There's going to be people that listen to this on the radio. I want them to hear this. There is forgiveness and healing and grace in the name of Jesus. That's the good news. That's what they need to hear. And then here's number four. What should our response be as believers? And this is where God spoke to me about getting up and speaking on this. Psalms 82, verses 3 through 4 says, you're here to defend the defenseless. Your job is to stand up for the powerless. And then Proverbs 24, verses 11 through 12 says, rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to die. Save them as they stagger to their death. Don't excuse yourself by saying, look, we didn't know. For God understands all hearts and he sees you. He who guards your soul knows you knew. He will repay all people as their actions deserve. So I want to stand up and rescue those that are unjustly sentenced to die. Stand up for the unborn. Proverbs 31, verse 8 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. There's four things right here at the end that I want to give you that we can all do. Number one is we must pray. You're not going to hear this pastor say this. We're not going to throw hate around, and we're not going to go picket an abortion clinic. That's not how we overcome this. We pray, and we speak the truth in love, and we minister to those that have gone through those things. We minister the love and grace of God to them. We can do more through prayer than we can ever do by throwing hate around and picketing. Amen. We can pray. We need to pray for our leaders that are making these. We need to get involved. Some of you in here need to run for political offices and do things. Some of you have the mind to do that. We need to get Christians in these places. So I want you to hear that from me. Number two, consider adoption. Pray about that. If God's calling you to adopt, adopt. Number three, support our local crisis pregnancy centers. And like I said, I talked to Karen Ramber out of Elk City. They're hooked up with another one over in Clinton. There's also one in Woodward as well. We have went and played in their golf tournament here at Woodward to help support that pregnancy care center. You can get involved. They're always needing volunteers. You can even donate items. You know, they're just call them and they can tell you what they have need of. I mean, diapers, all kinds of stuff. They need all kinds of things. And then you'll see that bulletin insert about that. I was able to get Elk City. They gave me a bulletin insert. So that's just got some neat things in there for you and how you can get involved. And then the fourth thing is contact your representatives and senators, encouraging them to protect the unborn. And I said this at the very beginning. I wanted to bring this message, it's not politically correct. This is the truth. This is what's really happening. It's not a Democrat. It's not Republican. It's not Libertarian. It's not Independent. It's not the Green Party, whatever. This is being brought to you as a citizen of heaven. And here's what I want to tell you as your pastor. When we are voting people into these places, the litmus test on voting is their view of abortion. Make sure you know what their view of abortion is, and vote accordingly. Man, I'm telling you guys, I know this was a heavy message today, but I knew it needed to be brought, especially by what's happening in our nation. And I know that we have, every Sunday, we have a lot of young people in here, and I want them to know the truth, because a lot of our young people aren't even learning this at school. Don't leave the school to teach your kids. Amen. And we have a great school system here. We really do, with Christian values and morals. But don't leave the school to teach your kids. Teach them a biblical world view from what the Word of God says. And I had a special, and I asked this person if I could share this morning. Because I knew that today was going to be a heavy message, and that we needed to hear this, and that there may even be somebody under the sound of my voice that's went through this, and I wanted them to know that God loves them and there's forgiveness and healing and restoration in the name of Jesus. And then this morning I was up. I always get up early on Sunday mornings, and I was having coffee, and I was sitting in my chair, and I was going over my notes and praying for this service today. And I always put my phone right here on the arm of my chair, and I heard this ding, and I was like, man, who's texting me right now? Somebody set their clocks right. And so I opened it up, and I asked this person if I could share this, and she said, absolutely. I'll try to get through this. She says, so sorry for the early morning text, but God's been dealing with me for several days. I know God will use this to strengthen someone else. Only my very immediate family knows this. My mom was 16 when she found out she was pregnant with me. And when she told her boyfriend at the time, he came to her house with his mother, and they handed her a $500 check and said this should take care of the abortion, and walked away and never looked back. I'm sure this would have solved all of my mom's problems at the time. All thanks be to God that she chose to rip it up and mail the check back to them instead of using it for the purpose intended. I've reflected on this so much lately, and God has shown me the strength it took for my mom to tell Satan no. Thank you for the subjects you choose to teach about. And that person is, and then she also said, I have a song that we need to do today, and I told Mark Ward that we need to do this song today during our praise and worship time. She says, he kept bringing the song to my mind. He knows my name. God is so good. And that person is Jennifer Hawkins. And I was sitting here when she texted me that. I was thinking, thank God her mom said no. And or I wouldn't know Kent today. I wouldn't know Mallory today. And I wouldn't know Josh and all their other kids. And thank God your mama said no. I want to pray for us today. Father, I thank you for your heart today, for the unborn. God, I thank you that there's healing and restoration and forgiveness and mercy in the name of Jesus. If anybody here today or those that are listening have been a part of an abortion, God, that there's healing in your name. And I pray that they hear that today. That's the good news, God, that there's forgiveness and healing and restoration today, God. And Lord, we pray for our nation today, God. We pray that we get back to what our founding fathers found this nation on. That was biblical values and upon the word of God, and get back to the absolute truth. God, there's so much deception that's going on in our nation right now in every area, in every arena of life. And God, we just pray, Lord, for the truth to prevail. And that's your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. And God, I just pray a special blessing over everyone here today and over this word that has went forth today. God, I pray that we would take it with the right heart, the right spirit, with the heart of love and with grace. God, that we may have to speak up sometime, but that we would speak the truth in love, that we wouldn't come across as hateful or judgmental or any of those things, that we wouldn't go out and picket and do those kind of things. But God, that we would just stand upon the word of God and speak the word of God and speak it with your heart. God, speak the truth in love, God, because, Lord, when it is spoken right with your heart, And with common sense and logic, God, it cuts down to the very heart of the matter, God. It goes down to the very bottom line, God. And God, you're a God of life. You're a God of life. And so Lord, I just thank you that when we present it in the right way, that it's going to open people's minds and hearts and remove the deception that's over them, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And I just thank you for that today, Lord. And I just... also, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for those that they may be here today and they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they need Him. We all need our Savior and our Lord. And so I want to have the privilege and the honor of praying with them and leading them in this prayer. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer to me. And even if you are, you know the Lord, I want you to pray this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and died on the third day for me, and rose on the third day for me. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I want everybody to stand up in here today. I'm going to speak a blessing over you today. Amen. Jada, will you come up here with me, babe? Everybody learn something today? Amen. I pray that this equips you to go help somebody. And thank you, Jennifer, for letting me share your story today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed. Have a blessed week. Amen. And Jay and I are going to go back here and see everybody. It's a new